two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Utah Weekly Forum, a public affairs show dedicated to learning more about the issues affecting our lives and health and exploring the resources available in our diverse communities to help. Here's your host, Rebecca Cressman.
So glad that you're joining us today. And my co-host today, should I just introduce you as a co-host?
Yeah, I love it. Since it wouldn't be the first time.
Right. Once upon a time, we did radio together. It is the amazing composer, performer, musician, entertainer, Kurt Vester. Thank you so much for being here today, Kurt.
No, it's always great to sit down and chat. I don't care if anybody else listens. I know you guys do, but I just like to talk to you and anybody else that's listening. So, no, this is fun. I needed a break from my music today. And so,
can I just say, though, part of the magic of your Christmas concerts is that you're talking to the audience and you do share a bit of why you chose this song, why it meant that for you, why these performers are here. And I think one of the reasons why your concerts feel that intimate is because you just kind of walk on stage and say, hey, friends, let's celebrate the most beautiful music for one of the most magical times of the year.
It's just a reflection of kind of who I am. I want to always get to the heart of things, whether I'm talking to somebody about, you know, like your, you know, community affairs or politics or religion or anything. I just want to get to the heart of the matter. I find words, even though I'm a talker, I find words are deficient. And there's lots of space between words to fall into. Music, on the other hand, just gets right to the heart of the matter. So I like when I write, when I perform, I like to say, okay, everybody, you know, here's what I was thinking. But now listen to the music and hear the real story. Hear what I really feel. And that has always succeeded for me. So.
Well, and if you are one of the rare people that hasn't had an opportunity or hasn't taken the opportunity yet to attend a Kurt Vester Christmas concert, what I want you to know is that as I sit back each year, and I am so lucky to attend your concerts, Kurt, is that it to me is also a celebration of music in itself. There are horns, there are flutes, there are drums, the percussion, orchestral. It is so beautiful in its depth. And so if you love any kind of music, whether it goes from jazz or classical music or contemporary jazz or pop, it actually delivers all of those things because you have live musicians that are just some of the most talented, not just in Utah, but in the country.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day. In my concerts, there's kind of this troika. There's me who wrote the music and arranged the music. Then there's the musicians that play the music. And then there's the audience who listens. And we need that that we need that troika. We need that threesome to be able to really communicate. And, you know, even the musicians, they're playing notes, but more than that, they're playing feelings behind the notes. They're playing my feelings, but they're adding theirs to it. And then the audience is receiving that the very same way. And that's why people, I think, really identify with music in general. At Christmas time, of course, that's where all the walls break down. Suddenly, 90-year-old grandma and 15-year-old Johnny can go to a show and go, hey, look, they're playing a Christmas song, and we both like it. And that's kind of why I like the whole Christmas thing anyway.
Right. Well, and for me, it's like a blanket of benevolence is wrapped around a community. And it can happen in your concerts as well, where everybody at once is experiencing a celebration of love, a celebration of charity, a celebration of goodwill towards men. Mm-hmm. And we need those seasons, you know.
Especially now. I mean, sure. And I know everybody seems to start their sentence sentences with. Right. We really want unity. We really want peace. But I think we could all agree that it is time for a blanket of benevolence. I'm going to use that, by the way, because my sponsor is Minky Couture.
And by the way, I have about 7 Minky Couture blankets.
And so do I. Let's do it. And you can never have enough. But honestly, I think we're yearning for that. We're yearning to feel that feeling. It's the antithesis of kind of what we feel other times with all the aggravation and friction. And so I'm not naive to think that I can change the world with just one concert. But for that 2 hours, I want to change people's world into a place of unity and peace and where you don't even know what party the person is sitting next to you belongs to. You don't know what religion they are. You just know, hey, we're all here. We're celebrating Christmas. So let's just enjoy. I'm really excited about probably more than ever before this year for the concert.
Well, you know, more recently we were giving away tickets to your show at the Eccles Theater, your live show, I should remind everyone, for the December 15th night. And yeah. I'll be there as well. Very excited
about that. Opening night, man. So, all the jokes are fresh.
So December 15th, tell us the dates of A Kurt Pester Christmas.
Yeah, the Eccles show this year is the 15th at 7:30, the 16th at 8 o'clock, and then the 17th, there's two shows, one at 2 o'clock and one at 8 o'clock.
All right.
4 shows total.
And I've had people ask me before about children, and I'll mm-hmm. say this. I think anyone from 7 years old or up, or if you have a mature 5-year-old, they will absolutely love it. I remember my little kids would stand up and point, oh, what kind of horn is he playing right now? Because you do play a flugelhorn, which most kids have never heard of a flugel.
This year, Darren mm-hmm. Bradford, and you'll remember this, Rebecca, Darren Bradford, my woodwind specialist, is going to try one more time to up his record of how many instruments on one song he can play.
For the Guinness Book of World Records.
The Guinness World Records, he's going to try. He told me the number the other day. It's some unbelievable. I wrote the song originally for him. It's a concerto for woodwind instruments, played 20 instruments played by one guy in one song. Well, he's now up past 35 instruments. We haven't done it for a few years. So he came up and asked me, he said, Kurt, I really think if I add this Japanese flute into the mix and maybe put in an Iranian nose flute that I can win the record. So, and you know, you speak of children. I think the child in all of us, it will be mesmerized watching him do that. It's like, yes. Wow, listen to that. Look at that. So there's moments in the concert that I program that are fun. I was gonna let the cat out of the bag, but I don't think I will.
Okay, never all mind. Right. Okay, you're gonna keep some secrets.
But I'm doing
for us.
A brand new arrangement of something that I think everybody will go, oh, I love that, and I've never heard him do that before, and it'll make everybody in the audience probably giggle at the same time. So there's lots of giggly moments, and then there's going to be moments where you just close your eyes and let the music take you wherever you want to go, you know, and to
the Eccles Theater in Salt Lake City, by the way, such an incredible venue with the stars up on up above, you know, and then you look forward and the lights that are all a part of the kind of surround sound concerts.
Yeah, the video screen mm-hmm. thing too, which is everybody's kind of used to it, but you know, so I have spared no expense, trust me, on how many screens. The screens aren't TV screens. What they are, I mean, they are, but they're projection screens that allow me and my video guy to kind of paint a scenery. So in the old days, we used to just have a set.
Yes.
The set would have like trees and you know, Christmas.
A light here and there.
Yeah. And now, we say, okay, this song, I want to take people into this 17th century church, or I want to take people out into Austria to hear Silent Night, but I want snow to fall. And we change the stage for every song, as well as bring you up close and personal. When Darren's playing his woodwind thing, suddenly you're going to be right there seeing how he does it or watching my fingers. But I love that about the technology now, the screens that you got. So we're using about 7 screens, gigantic screens that kind of, but they don't look technical. They look artistic.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we posted on social media about your concert, one of our listeners wanted to know, do we need to bring proof of vaccination this year? And for those who don't know yet, all the Eccles Theater is now asking you is that if you are ill, stay home. And if you're more comfortable wearing a mask in a crowded environment, go for it.
Yeah.
And but you don't have to bring the proof with you. Right. Just do your very best to keep everyone
healthy. That's pretty much what we're doing these days. And you know, I want everybody to be healthy because healthy equals happy, and happy people make for good audiences. So yeah, just come in whatever you feel comfortable. Don't come if you're sick, though. I mean, that's just what we should do anyway, right?
Right. But can you tell us, I was trying to count, and I can't remember. Is it 35 years?
Yeah, this is year 35, which is bizarre. And I haven't really told anybody this, Rebecca, but I'm actually celebrating this 35th year by hearkening back to the very first year, the thing that started it all. And you probably do remember this because even though you're younger than I am, you're just old enough. Old enough. No, I did this album called An Heiress Christmas.
Yes.
And it is the album that is the best-selling album of anything. It's the thing that got it started, and people still say it's their favorite Christmas album of mine that I've done. But it hasn't been available for 15 years. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know
in
it.
The year
did it come out in 91? I can't remember.
No, it came out in 87,
okay,
88.
88, okay.
And so it was the album that spawned the concerts.
Sure.
So it's been unavailable for 15 years. And I didn't even realize it because now with Spotify and all those streaming things, you can listen to it. But I decided to remaster the album and print 1,000.
Wow.
And only available at the concerts, and I'll be there to sign, which I haven't been able to do because of COVID. I haven't been able to come out after the show. This year, we're going to do that.
Oh, marvelous.
So, yeah, it's kind of I'm kind of excited about that. I don't listen to my own music very much, except when I'm in a concert. But just listening to the Silent Night and my version of Carol the Bells off that album, Oh Come, O Come, Emmanuel, a lot of people say this is on their record stack or whatever
right,
you call it.
Right, for Christmas.
And they grew up listening to it. Many people who come to my concert weren't born when that came out, but their parents played it, and it's become part of their Christmas life.
Well, you know, and back in that period of time, I had just begun working as an on-air DJ, playing contemporary jazz music. And, Heiress Christmas had been out now that you give me the year for a couple of years, but it was really the first time we were hearing somebody take traditional Christmas songs and bring them out in a way that was different, absolutely different, with either, you know, jazzy influence or I'm struggling to even be describe it. It was just beautiful.
I struggle with the same word. I don't. People go, what style is your music? And I cannot say that. I say sometimes I joke around and say it's jazzical, or, you know, it is got classical in it because I love classical music. It's got a little bit of jazz in it. It's got kind of pop sensibilities. Sounds like film music.
Mm-hmm. Instrumental.
I just say bester. I mean, that's kind of what I am. I mean, I'm just an amalgam of everything that turned me on when I was a kid and what I like listening to. And I'm not afraid these days of putting in a little something that sounds like Baroque music or something that sounds like jazz. And it's like it all works, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I'm a chef, but just because I'm known as this kind of chef doesn't mean I can't throw in a little influence from something else.
Just a little Baroque, though, okay? Not a lot.
Well, no, you got to go for Baroque.
Oh,
dad joke.
Oh, I heard that, but boom. A Kurt Vester Christmas. We're talking with Kurt Vester, and I'm Rebecca Cressman. His concerts will be kicking off December 15th at the Eccles Theater on Main Street in Salt Lake City. Often, you are also traveling to other communities, so tell us a little bit about your Christmas schedule.
Yeah, I have the Kurt Vester World Tour this year. It starts off in St. George on December 1st. I don't do Christmas music before.
Do you wear shorts when you're down there on December 1st?
Yeah, little Santa shorts with fringe. But I go down December, and that's a Kayenta. So it's this beautiful, beautiful indoor facility where I have the audience almost surrounding me because it's a smaller venue. I bring down my trio, and I hire a string quartet. I call it the Kayenta Philharmonic. And we perform similar songs, but it's a much more intimate. And that same show I'll take to Gunnison, Utah. You'll have to check out my website. Maybe we can post it in your website or whatever.
Yeah.
Go to KurtBester.com, and you can see the actual dates. But Gunnison, and then I'm going to Pocatello this year. I'm performing, and I end the year in Park City from the 22nd to the 25th. My last concert is December 25th at 6
o'clock. So you really are going across the state. Sorry to
interrupt. Yeah, no, I'm going to try to do, and I'm trying the best I can to get places, because sometimes people can't go to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And some people really prefer the intimate shows, because as intimate as you think I am with my audiences in Eccles, when you're 6 feet away from me, and you're looking at my fingers and you're looking at me and we're talking, it's much more intimate. And I actually enjoy it. It's my Park City show, for example. Some people go there instead of Eccles. Or you can go to both.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. And drive to Pocatello, used to be a small town. But with the growth that the Intermountain West has gone through, Pocatello is one of those areas that it's going to—
And it's
to,
beautiful theater there. It's the Stevens Auditorium. I call it the Potato Mahal, because it was some potato magnet up there built that. And you come around the corner as you're coming out of the canyon in Pocatello, and up comes this massive thing that looks totally out of place, but it's a wonderful hall. So.
Well, and can I just put a good word in for potatoes? Because they grow. There's fields of them not too far from where I'm at, and I had never known the difference between a fresh potato and the ones you buy at the grocery store. If you want to drive to Pocatello, see a Kurt Bester Christmas concert, buy some homegrown potatoes, you're going to have an experience like you won't forget.
There you go.
Of course I need to bring that up, because I know that you don't like funeral potatoes. So, of course, I had to kind of
bring
that
in. I don't like funeral potatoes, and I apologize right there. But then I also don't like fry sauce. I know it's a problem. I don't bring it up very often, because I don't want to lose audience members.
Now, talk to me. In the past, you've kind of keep it hidden, your special guests that you have in the show. Who's going to be on stage?
Rebecca, I'm going to tell you one that we've announced. All
okay.
right, that's Tony Award winner Lisa Hopkins Sigmiller. She won a Tony on Broadway, and she's become a working at home person now, teaching lessons, taking care of kids in the family down in St. George. She lives in Utah, but she lived in New York for many years, and she's amazing. She and I performed together on the Andrew Lloyd Webber show that came here right in the middle of COVID. We got permission to do it, and that was
at the Eccles Theater too, by the way.
And I asked her if she would be my special guest a few years ago, but she was pregnant, and the baby was due to be born on December 25th, and I said, that's perfect. But then we thought about it, said maybe not so much on stage. So she's my special guest, and I'm arranging songs for her right now.
An incredible vocalist.
Beautiful, beautiful singer, amazing lady. Now, to the part that I haven't announced now. So I'm also doing some smaller new compositions featuring new people. So I have other special guests. There's a piano player in town called Josh Wright. Josh is a great piano player. He has some albums out on his own. He's a classical phenom, one of those guys, teaches up at the University of Utah. He's going to join me for a special arrangement I did, a duet, a four hands, one piano version of Adeste Fidelis. Come
okay,
all
so
the
he won't be on a separate piano. You'll
no,
both
we're
be
on the
same piano.
Piano, yeah.
Tell me the name again.
Josh Wright.
No, the name of the song.
Oh, the song, Adeste Fidelis, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Okay.
That's kind of the classical way to say it.
Latin.
Anyway, I did a brand new version of that. Then I've got a very special part of the program that features four more guests, two songs featuring four guests. One song is, I call it Ukrainian Christmas. And Carol DeBellis comes from the Ukraine. That song. And so what I'm going to do is pay homage to the people and the spirit of the Ukrainian folks as they go through their war. By having two sisters who are incredible violinists play this thing that I've arranged called Ukrainian Christmas. And then that's going to be followed right away by Prayer of the Children. And I've got two children from the One Voice Children's Choir that are going to join me on stage. So that little concert in a concert is going to be, I think, a very special moment of the show.
Well, you've already made me tear up a bit as you brought up Ukraine, and I know your heart is close, having lived in Serbo-Croatia for you. And so this Ukrainian Christmas, is this an original composition? Or?
Well, it's an original arrangement, yes.
Okay.
So I took two songs, Carol the Bells to start, and then I go into a song called Melodia, which is a beautiful, beautiful song that comes from Ukraine. and then I end with a little bit of Carol the Bells at the end. And these two sisters, I really wanted to try to find Ukrainian violinists, and I did, but I can't get them over. I can't bring them over. So the next best thing was to find two sisters, young people. They're the Hart sisters. One's at Juilliard, one's still in high school, and they're phenomenal violinists. And I just think having two sisters, two family members, you know, kind of give a little gift of love to the people of Ukraine, and then followed by Prayer of the Children, will just be a real choice moment of the show.
Absolutely. And every time I've attended and you've had these little voices, I'll say big voices coming out of these little children from the One Voice Children's Choir, I'm on my feet. Yeah. By the time that they finish their performance, it's extraordinary. And they're young.
I used to sing Prayer of the Children myself, and I'm not saying that I won't. And I've had other adults do it. But a few years ago, I started having these children sing Prayer of the Children. And it takes on a slightly autobiographical feeling, you know, as you hear children praying, you know, through song about Prayer of the Children. It suddenly takes on this feeling as if, wow, I'm hearing the children. And so I'm not ever going to say I'm going to do this forever, or that I'm, you know, that's always the way it's going to be. But man, it sure works.
And for those who just joined us, as I mentioned, that Kurt had lived in Serbo-Croatia, and you look back at world history, that area that had seen so much war, so much strife. Such discord, and you were touched by that, and you thought the children themselves are praying for peace, and it's in that context that you wrote that song.
Yeah, and of course the war over there has been over for many years, but the song keeps coming back. Unfortunately, for tragedies, it was just sung again at the Columbine Memorial. It gets sung by the Harlem Boys Choir at Ground Zero of 9/11. It gets used for all kinds of things, and it gets sung now. I changed the last line into Ukrainian. So as the song finishes, I used to sing it in Croatian, but now the kids are going to sing the phrase in Ukrainian.
Wow. Sounds a lot like Russian, Ukrainian.
It does. It sounds like Russian, but I hope that I don't have to sing it much longer in Ukrainian, but then unfortunately, there'll probably be another language I'll have to change it to.
Well, we have Ukrainian refugees that live here in Utah.
Yeah, we do.
And where my husband is from in Western Canada, the majority of the kids he went to school with were Ukrainian.
Oh wow!
There's huge populations in Western Canada.
Well, I love the fact that you know, I mean, we're broadcasting this in from Utah, and the fact that here in Utah we welcome people from other cultures. There are other places in our country where people say no room here, don't go away. But here we realize that we are a richer society because of the cultures. As a musician, of course, I draw from all kinds of cultures in my concerts, not just Western European, but just everywhere.
Mm-hmm. You played a Cuban piece, not too.
Well, I did, and I'm not doing that one this year. But my Cuban bass player will be here, and of course we were on stage when Cuba. A few years ago, it was announced that we could travel there. Well, that was rescinded, and we won't get into politics. But he was so happy to say, "Oh, you can, Kurt, you can come to my country now." I'm so excited. And anyway, I celebrate that unity of cultures, because it makes for richer music. It makes for a more enjoyable Christmas concert when we can have not peace on earth, goodwill in Utah, but peace on earth, goodwill to all. And that's what I'm about. That's my message.
Now, how do we get tickets to a Kurt Bester Christmas?
Oh, you know, it's funny. People ask me that, and I always kind of have to think, because I've never had to buy a ticket. But
somehow they let you in the back door.
I know. Don't I sneak in? No, you can. You go to. They change this website all the time. I know if you go to arttix.org, it will get you there. Liveattheeccles.com will get you there. But can I just do a public service announcement?
Please do. Okay, we have three more minutes together.
And this applies to any show you buy in almost every city. If you type in Kurt Bester tickets, the first five or six websites that you see are all not scams, but they're ticket brokers. They have bought tickets and then they sell them to you for like five times. If you're paying more than approximately $65 more with tax or whatever to my concert, you have been taken.
Okay.
And I just want to tell people that, because I had somebody come up the other day and said, how come your tickets are $200 each? Mm. You know, how could you do that? I said, you know what? I didn't. You have gone to the wrong site. So be careful when you do that. Make sure that you're connecting to the Eccles Theater directly over there. So
sure. Live at the Eccles or Artix.
Artix.org will get you there. And so there you go. End of my PSA.
And here's my PSA. Historically, Kurt Bester Christmas concerts have sold out as well. So if you're ready to book your traditions and incredible experiences for you and your friends or your loved ones or your family members, I would grab the tickets for the Perfect Night or Matinee show as at the Eccles Theater. It's just extraordinary. December 15th. Through the 18th, and the matinee show is on Saturday.
And now I'm going to leave you, Rebecca, because I have to write music. I have so much to do, but this has been great. Thank you for having me.
Well, just like Santa Claus, he does his thing, and then he has to go.
Get
ready for the next year.
That's right.
Thank you for joining us. And by the way, Kurt's website, if you're interested in ordering some of his music, the Air is Christmas will only be at the concerts, but the website is kurtbester.com.
That's me.
All right. Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Utah Weekly Forum.
Utah Weekly Forum is produced by KSFI FM 100.3 in Salt Lake City, a Bonneville International station. Subscribe to the Utah Weekly Forum podcast online and email us at rebecca@fm100.com.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.